Hello, my name's Tom Boone.
And I'm Joanna Bailey.
Welcome to a brand new episode of the Simple Flying Podcast, where we'll give you the lowdown on the latest news from the world of commercial aviation. Here's what we have for you this week.
Coming up today, I'll share the big news about a US airline buyout that isn't going to plan, while Tom tells us about a fluffy VIP flying to China.
Joe tells us about some ground collisions already happening in 2024, while I look at a big win for Boeing.
Finally, I'll explore how the wintry weather is affecting airlines around the world.
So now you know what's in store, let's get on with the show. And Joe, you know, I think I've missed so much news, so fill me in on what's been happening.
Let's start with a big welcome back to Tom and an apology that I'm sorry you weren't here for our 200th episode.
I know, it was so sad.
I celebrated with Jake last week, which was lovely, but I'm so glad you're here for our 201st episode, which is, of course, another milestone because it's only our first in the 200s, so you didn't miss out,
really.
There has been a lot going on, and the latest news from the United States is that the Spirit JetBlue merger has been denied. So this is a significant victory for the Department of Justice. As people following along will know, the DOJ filed a lawsuit against the merger. The merger or acquisition was announced back in July 2022, but the DOJ claimed that airfares would rise as a result. So in the ruling this week, a judge called William G. Young said, in the light of the foregoing finds of facts and conclusions of law, it is hereby ordered that the defendant airlines, their agents, servants, employees, and all persons acting in concert with either of them are permanently enjoined from executing proposed merger as agreed on July 18th, 2022. So in plain English, judge says no, let's put it that way. I don't really know what enjoining is, but I assume that means don't do it.
Did you see the part of his ruling where he quotes Les Miserables?
No, go on, what did he say?
Oh, I can't tell you what it is, but he's from the musical. He's got like a section of one of the songs about where they make you pay for everything. it's a really wild read, the whole document.
That's kind of cool. I'll have to sit down and have a read of that with a cup of tea later on. So, you know, this trial actually took place last fall. It ended in early December, and it took a month for the judge to make his decision. JetBlue obviously had hoped that by merging the two airlines, it would be able to continue offering prices to passengers and compete against larger carriers like Southwest. But now its newly announced CEO, Joanna Geraghty, is going to be challenged to take the airline in a new direction. There was a joint statement issued by both JetBlue and Spirit Airlines where the parties commented that they disagreed with the US court's ruling, that they believed their combination was the best opportunity to increase competition and choice by bringing great fares and great service to more customers in more markets. Blah, blah, blah. They don't like it. Of course, that's not what they want. They have said that they're reviewing the court's decision and evaluating their next steps. There is room for them to appeal, but I don't see what the point is when it's already been decided. So we'll see. The reasons for the denial, the judge said, were that the two airlines really belong in two different categories. And I'd have to agree here. JetBlue is a low-cost or hybrid airline. Spirit is very much an ultra-low-cost carrier. The judge said that these airlines typically cater to different customer segments, despite, you know, the carriers labelling them as either business or leisure travellers. It's kind of a different market. The judge said that the merger would have eliminated Spirit Airlines' ultra-low fares for consumers and that JetBlue would have the ability to incentivize and reconfigure Spirit pricing to support its own profitability. JetBlue's chief financial officer, Ursula Hurry, said that nothing would change immediately, but the judge stated that Spirit's pricing and route decisions would likely shift immediately on completion of the merger. Robin Hayes, who is the outgoing CEO of JetBlue, sent a letter to employees where he said that the airline will have a bright future with or without the integration of Spirit Airlines assets. He said that the airline will continue to invigorate its standalone organic plan, continuing to fight for market share and win customers from the big airlines. They admitted that acquiring Spirit Airlines would have sped up JetBlue's growth, but, you know, JetBlue is going to grow anyway, particularly considering it has over 130 Airbus aircraft on order A220-300s and A321neos. For Spirit Airlines, however, the future is looking a bit less rosy. So their Q3 filing, which is the latest we have, show that it had $3.3 billion in long-term debt and only $1.4 billion in assets. So it was loss-making in 2022, and this year it's anticipating a $467 million loss, to conclude 2023. In fact, Spirit hasn't been profitable since 2019-ish. Helene Becker, who's a favourite on earnings calls, I often hear her asking her questions. She's a senior analyst at TD Cowen. She said that Spirit may well look for another buyer. But who would that be? Frontier Airlines could return to the table. But when they proposed a couple of years ago to buy the airline, they were using their shares as part of the transaction. On the other hand, JetBlue's was an all-cash buyout. The problem with that is that Frontier's shares have lost over 60% of their value since that original proposal. So it's doubtful if it can even afford to buy Spirit anymore. They could look to other kind of private equity firms, for example, like 777 Partners or Indigo Partners. But Helene Becker says, and I tend to agree with her, that if Spirit doesn't find a buyer, there is a strong possibility it could seek Chapter 11 bankruptcy protection before the end of this year. So early days, but we'll have to wait and see how that all shakes out.
Yeah, I mean, I would not have seen it going like that, but it does make you wonder if... If JetBlue hadn't barged Frontier out of the way, where would we be today?
They made much more sense, Frontier and Spirit. You know, it was a much closer cooperation that would have actually increased the options for low-cost fares and the routes. But, you know, JetBlue swooped in with this massive offer and poor old Frontier just couldn't compete.
I almost wonder if, like, JetBlue always kind of knew it would go this way but just didn't want Frontier buying it, if you know what I mean.
But strategic, tactical stuff.
And I'm sure, I'm not saying that happened, if any lawyers are listening. No.
Yes, please don't sue Tom. Yep. He doesn't speak for the company, only himself.
No, I'm sure it wasn't that. But sort of sticking to America with the, I want to talk about Panda Express, which is like a big American fast food Asian chain. Although I didn't want to talk about the American fast food Asian chain, I actually wanted to talk about a flight that happened this morning. Unsure exactly which as we're recording it, but basically, we've seen a lot of FedEx flights in the past year, I think, flying pandas around, more than usual, I think. Probably part of that is because of the COVID, especially Edinburgh Zoo's panda was meant to go home to China a lot earlier, but it was delayed because of the COVID restrictions. Well, now another panda is going to China, but he's not going home to China. He's going to China for the very first time. So I wanted to talk about a panda called Lele. And just sort of side note, I find pandas fascinating now because I watched an hour-long documentary about them recently on Eastern flight. And it talks about...
Coming soon, yeah. Simple Pandas by Tom.
Yeah. I think Simple Penguins before pandas. But so the VIP arrived at Chengdu Shuangliu International Airport in the... southwest Sichuan province. You see, I haven't in my Chinese travels improved my pronunciation at all.
No.
It's quite interesting because I did learn that a lot of the panda stuff that's going on in China is in Chengdu. So I told you that this panda is only going to China for the first time. The panda was actually born in a Singapore zoo and he spent the first 2.5 years of his life there with his parents under the supervision of the Mandai Wildlife Group. However, it's come time to sort of move on to a new location, meet some new pandas and go back home to China. So, you know, the first stop on his journey, he flew with Singapore Airlines in a Boeing 747-400 freighter, which is really cool because when you think of Singapore Airlines, you never think of Boeing 747, but
no.
That's because you don't think of their cargo capacities. So according to Flight Radar, our friends over there, the aircraft in use was 9 Victor Sierra Foxtrot Papa. And yeah, that did depart on January 16th from Singapore at around 7:17 local time. And it was just about 4 hours in the sky, so not a long flight. And it touched down in Chengdu 45 minutes to midnight. So a bit of a night flight.
Bit of a late night for poor Lele.
Yeah, exactly. Well, it's quite cool to see how, and this was part of my documentary as well, but to see just how pandas fly, because it's not just like a dog where it's put in the bottom of the aircraft and you just hope it's still there at the end. You know, they have special vets on board that are constantly looking at the pandas, making sure they're doing okay, monitoring them during the flight. I'm not really sure what they would be able to do if something was wrong. Maybe you'd have to divert. But quite cool. You know, it's possible. You don't really think of this as well when you think of just like flying, I don't know, a load of IKEA furniture. You wouldn't think about temperature. But it is quite important to think about temperature when you're flying with a wild animal such as a panda. So they actually already pre-cooled the cabin of, I say cabin, of the flight to 12 to 16 degrees Celsius, so about 53 to 60 Fahrenheit before the flight, just so that Lele was really, really comfortable on her flight. And she's now undergoing, or he, sorry, is now undergoing a quarantine period while they decide where he's going to go exactly in China. So I just thought that was a really cool story to chat about back on the podcast.
Definitely. I love a panda story. And good old Lele. I hope he's settling in well in his new home in China. I can't think of a good segue, so I'm just going to dive on into my next story. You know I love talking about ground collisions. It's one of my bugbears with aviation that we don't do more to protect aircraft when they're on the ground. Well, 2023 was a heck of a year for ground collisions, and it looks like 2024 is going in the same direction. So on Sunday evening, January 14th, two aircraft collided at Chicago O'Hare at around 6:30 in the evening. The FAA is going to be investigating, of course. Basically, a plane taxiing for departure clipped another aircraft, and it involved an all Nippon Airways or ANA flight that was taxiing for departure, and its left winglet struck the stabilizer of a Delta Airlines Boeing 717. The spokesperson for the FAA said that there were no injuries and that the incident occurred in an area not under air traffic control. So I guess just ground handling staff were responsible for moving these aircraft around. So the Delta flight was apparently undergoing final parking and all the passengers left the aircraft at the gate. The Boeing 717 is being evaluated by Delta's maintenance technicians. The ANA aircraft was much bigger. It was a Boeing 777 and it had departed from the gate when Chicago air traffic control contacted the flight crew to let them know that they'd collided with something. I guess they didn't really notice in that big bird that they'd scraped a little 717 on their way out. There were scrapes on the wingtip and ANA is currently evaluating the details. But that's not the only story I have to tell you, because just a day before, an Airbus A321 operated by Lufthansa was severely damaged at Frankfurt Airport. A catering truck hit the aircraft, leaving two gaping holes in the side of the fuselage. In fact, photos of the aircraft show the railing from the catering truck still lodged in the side of the plane. It's been removed from service for inspections and repairs and is likely to be out of action for a bit of time. So, and this is actually the second time in just 4 months that an aircraft was damaged by a ground vehicle at Frankfurt. Because if you remember back in September, a brand new A330neo for Condor, lovely stripy one, sustained severe damage near the cargo door after a high-loading vehicle crashed into the fuselage. That plane is still on the ground and hasn't re-entered service. Poor old Condor. But this issue of damage being caused to aircraft, it's a big problem for the industry, but it's nothing new. Aviation has been dealing with this for many years, and speaking to representatives of IATA, the International Air Transport Association, last year, they said they calculate the cost of such incidents right now to be approximately $5 billion a year. There are obvious implications, you know, compromising the safety of passengers and airport staff, the cost of dealing with the damage, the disruption to operations from an aircraft being out of action. And despite being painfully aware of this, the situation's not getting better. In fact, IATA says it'll only get worse. They reckon if nothing is done to address the situation, the annual cost of ground damage will balloon to almost $10 billion by 2035, double the current level. As such, it's calling for an investment in enhanced ground support equipment to tackle the ongoing problem. back in 2023, I say back in 2023, it was only 2 weeks ago, but you know, all the way back in 2023, if you can remember then, most of the damage, I'm sure you can't remember anything, but I do, painfully. Most of the damages last year were caused by motorised ground support equipment, or GSE, striking fuselages of aircraft. 40% of all damage was caused by either belt loaders, cargo loaders, passenger stairs and jet bridges. There's a chap at IATA called Nick Kareen, who's their Senior Vice President of Operations, Safety and Security, and he reckons there's already a readily available solution that we can find in the automotive industry. And he commented to me, it's all about anti-collision. There's probably not a car you can buy today that doesn't have this technology, but we don't have it on equipment that's around our multi-million dollar machines. Go figure. Well, he noted that IATA is looking at putting together a roadmap to make ground service equipment with anti-collision on it a standard moving forward, but we're still a way off yet. Have you crashed into anything lately, Tom?
Yeah, well, I'm not going to lie, but a lot of the stuff that you see driving around these airplanes, it doesn't look like the top of the line just rolled off the belt at the Mercedes factory. You know, this is stuff that, you know, you've started up and you're seeing all of this black smoke coming out of it because it was built 30 years ago sort of stuff. So, I would kind of say I think that's not necessarily the solution. I think the best solution right now just came into my head would just be put a load of pool noodles on these sharp edges.
Yeah, I love that thought. But, you know, if you want to see nice brand new ground handling equipment, go to a delivery ceremony at Airbus in Toulouse, because they have the best pushback vehicle I've ever seen in my life. It's got six wheels. It's all electric. It's really wide. It's like super. It's like the ones you see at airports, but on steroids. It's so modern and cool. Anyway, that's beside the point. But let's hope there's no more unwanted bumps on the runways this year.
Yeah, I think we'll hope in vain. But we have to hope. I don't really have a segue either for this one, but I heard that Boeing has had a lot of bad news recently. So I wanted to talk instead about a big win that Boeing's had just today as we're recording the podcast. So, you know, we've known for a few months that Akasa Airlines, the Indian, they're not really a startup now, but they're the Indian startup, that they've wanted to place a new aircraft order in three digits. Well, today we finally got the signing on the dotted line. And we discovered that they ordered 150 Boeing 737 MAX aircraft. So, you know, not deterred by all of the problems that the MAX is facing right now or has faced before. And not only will this allow the airline to sort of expand domestically, but I believe that this is also going to be used for international expansion as well. And what I really love, my number one thing, is just exactly which aircraft they've ordered, because they've ordered the 737 MAX 10, great. But they've also ordered, if you ask me, the best MAX variant, which is the MAX 8-200. This is the one that Boeing specifically built for Ryanair, so that they could fit even more seats on it, despite...
I would love to know why you think that's the best MAX variant. You know, it's the one where you get the least leg room, more exit doors. Like, it was made for the worst airline in the world.
It was made for that airline. I don't know. I think it's really cool that at the moment, it's still a relatively unique thing. It's not like, you know, the MAX 8 is made because Boeing wants to make the MAX 8 and airlines buy it, whereas the MAX 8-200 is made because Ryanair pushed for it, really pushed for it. And that's Ryanair's plane that some other people can buy. I think that's why it's really
I think
cool.
Honza has some now. But
there's one other Vietjet, cool. It's a cool story. Either got some or is expecting some.
Yeah, I think
some.
They do. Yeah.
But yeah, just commenting on that, Vinay Dube, who's the CEO and founder of Akasa Air, he said that this large and historic order puts Akasa on a path of becoming one of the top 30 leading airlines in the world by the turn of this decade. These additions to our fleet will help us bolster the strength of our operations, and we expand our footprint and foray into international skies in the very near future. Each addition to our fleet brings us closer to our purpose of connecting people, places, and cultures. We're confident in our ability to be able to serve millions of satisfied travelers across the globe as we step into the next phase for our growth. Now, obviously, India, I want to say they're experiencing big growth, but I would rather, I think, say that they're expecting to experience big growth because, you know, we saw in Paris last year that ridiculous Indigo order for like 600 planes or something. I don't think it was that many, but it was absurd. I think top 30 leading airlines is perhaps a bit of a reach for what I still consider a startup, but, you know, all the best to them.
Fair play, lots of ambition.
But I do have a segue for you for this next section because I haven't been able to leave my house today because there is just so much snow outside.
How exciting.
Do you want to tell me a bit about that, Jo?
I will. Well, the winter has arrived, and depending on where you are in the world, it's cold, wet, icy, foggy, windy, could be anything really. In the USA, winter storms have been battering several states for many days, even traditionally kind of temperate places like Texas. So earlier this week on Tuesday, 3,000 flights had been cancelled and around 8,500 delayed by sort of the peak traffic time in the evening. Dallas-Fort Worth, George Bush Intercontinental were all some of the most effective. Of course, the high airports like Denver, Chicago, Washington were also suffering disruptions, but it was unusual to see Dallas-Fort Worth actually affected by wintry weather. They normally have it quite mild. There was one flight where passengers had to wait an awfully long time to get where they were going. Nashville International Airport was having some terrible troubles. But unfortunately for the passengers, it wasn't just the takeoffs that were disrupted. In fact, it wasn't the takeoffs that were most disrupted because, you know, at least then you can sit in a nice warm airport drinking coffee or wine, as you prefer. But Nashville's bottleneck affected landing passengers most, and some were waiting for hours to get off their flights. The issue here was that the de-icing trucks ran out of fuel. This was then compounded by the fact that the valve to refuel them froze up, causing another delay. And then later in the afternoon, the FAA issued a ground stop between 4 o'clock and 5:15, which stopped the flights from leaving Nashville. And of course, if nobody's leaving, the planes arriving haven't got a gate to taxi to. So there was one particular flight inbound from Washington, which was unable to taxi to its gate for almost 6 hours. Can you imagine? You've just taken a fairly short flight and then you're stuck on your plane for 6 hours on the apron.
I'd be interested to know a bit more about what happened with that, because I thought every airline operating to the US had to have a plan to at least get passengers off a plane within 4 hours.
Well, that's interesting. Yeah, I don't know enough about it to comment really, but that headline kind of caught my eye for sure. And of course, it wasn't just the USA that was suffering at the hands of the weather. Tropical cyclone Belal caused significant disruption at Mauritius's main airport, leading to a temporary closure of almost 24 hours. Over 40 flights, including those operated by Air Mauritius and South African Airways, were either cancelled or delayed due to cyclonic weather. And Roland Garros Airport in Reunion Island also experienced flight disruptions, with all its flights on Monday cancelled and the airport closed for several hours. But you'll love this one, Tom, because in Europe, some TUI passengers were off to Madeira from Manchester. What's that, a couple of hours flight at the most? Well, they eventually arrived in Madeira 60 hours after taking off from Manchester. It became their unwanted odyssey, became one of the most watched flights on the tracking websites over last weekend. So this was flight BY2536, which left Manchester nice and early at 8:48 on Friday morning. They were just heading off to Madeira, probably for a nice long weekend. But due to bad weather, the aircraft was unable to land in Madeira that day. It tried, it went around, and then it eventually diverted to Porto Santo Airport, PXO, overnight. Passengers were accommodated in an airport hotel and then told to arrive back at the airport nice and early the next day to go to Madeira. Well, it took off for Madeira, but poor weather again foiled attempts to land. So they diverted to Tenerife South and then sat on the apron for around 4 hours with passengers on board. Because the weather was starting to clear up, they took off again and attempted to land at Madeira, but again could not land. And on this occasion, it was in the air for over 3 hours, circling and circling Madeira, before finally returning to Tenerife for the night. Passengers were again accommodated in an airport hotel, and eventually they managed to take off late in the day on Sunday, arriving in Madeira at about 9:30 in the evening. Those poor passengers, imagine if you had been going for a long weekend, you'd have been arriving in Madeira just about out in time to check in for your flight back to the UK.
Well, you know me, but I would have loved the flight time.
Oh, you'd have been enjoying all that holding and going around and stuff. There were some people that just said, we don't even want to go anymore. We'll just stay here at Tenerife because we just don't want to get on the plane anymore. Anyway, they got there eventually. But it's not even just Europe and the US, because there's been craziness over in India as well. And over there, it's been fog causing problems, particularly at Delhi. There were more than 160 flights delayed this week, and some of them were delayed ridiculously long, which really frustrated passengers, to the point that one passenger was reported to have run to the front of the cabin and punched the captain as he was announcing their delay. Bit of a radical move there.
It's not gonna do you any favours.
No, it's not. He's in a lot of trouble. But other northern airports in India have been struggling with fog as well. One IndiGo flight between Mumbai and Guwahati had to be diverted to Dhaka in Bangladesh as the plane couldn't land in Guwahati due to poor visibility. This presented rather a sticky situation for passengers, many of whom were flying this domestic flight without their passports. So they had to stay on the plane for several hours until a relief crew arrived to take them where they wanted to go. And there was rather an unusual situation which arose when a Delhi-bound IndiGo flight from Goa had to be diverted. One passenger wrote on X, or formerly known as Twitter, that the flight was delayed by 12 hours, only to be diverted in the end to Mumbai. It seems the diversion to Mumbai was kind of the last straw, because all the passengers of the plane disembarked and sat down on the tarmac and refused to leave. Some were even seen sitting on the ground under the aircraft, eating meals provided by IndiGo. Both IndiGo and Mumbai Airport have been served a show cause notice that stated that they were not proactive in anticipating the situation and making the appropriate facilitation arrangements for passengers at the airport. But it's still early in the year. The wintry weather isn't done with disrupting aviation yet. Just this week, German airlines and airports warned passengers there could be snow and ice related delays in the coming days as an Arctic blast is set to engulf Europe. So tell me about your snow. Yeah. How's it going?
Well, it's quite funny because, you know, we had this massive weather alert from the German weather service yesterday. As we record this, it was the purple, which is the highest level, and it was like, you know, it's gonna get bad, you need to prepare all
you
of this.
You have a purple and weather warning?
Yeah, it's above red.
Wow.
Yeah, we had this, and you know, I was woken up by my phone and Laura's phone going with one of these emergency alerts. That's how bad it was.
Wow.
And then nothing happened yesterday, but this morning we had maybe 4 to 5 centimeters of snow. And that meant the airport also had 4 to 5 centimeters of snow. So, there was a lot of chaos at Frankfurt today. I just would quickly say as well, while you were chatting, I decided to look up the tarmac delay rules from the Department of Transportation.
Oh, excellent. And,
yeah, I know. Live podcast making in the action. It says that for arriving flights landing at US airports, airlines are required to provide passengers with an opportunity to safely get off the airplane before 3 hours. Mm. There are exemptions to the time limits for safety, security, and air traffic control related reasons. So perhaps one of these was the reason why.
Maybe.
And of course, it says you should not exit the airplane unless told to by airline staff.
Well, of course.
So, yeah.
Not like that man who was it? Whose plane was it? There was a man who got, I think it was a Delta plane. You'd have missed this last week, but he boarded the plane through the door, as you do, walked straight across to the emergency door, opened it, and fell out the other side. I shouldn't laugh because he did hurt himself, but you've just got to think what is going through the minds of these people sometimes. Anyway, I think that's all we've got time for on today's podcast. We do hope you enjoyed it and welcome your feedback as always at editorial@simpleflying.com.
For more great content, you can visit our website at simpleflying.com or find us on social media. Simply search for Simple Flying.
If you enjoyed the podcast, please do leave us a rating on your favourite podcast player. Thanks for listening.
Bye.